for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Thursday afternoon, ladies, 1:15 p.m. Deliverance and Teaching Meeting, held December 31st, 2009. Ada Andrews is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on His love.
Well, we're going to start the women's meeting, and there's really not a whole lot for me to say. Come and sit up a little closer, but if you're really not sitting up a little closer, I really, really would like for you to. I feel like in this meeting, there's going to be a closeness with us all, and I just kind of think that we need to kind of, I don't think, but just come and get real close. Yeah. Let's huddle. Oh, I'm going to open up in a prayer. Lord, I just thank You for this time, Lord. You ordained it, Lord. You know what we need to hear. You know what I need to hear. You know what to say. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that anything that would keep any of us from receiving what You would have for us to hear, Lord, I just tell it to leave. It has no right to keep what You would have for Your children to hear. And Lord, I just thank You for each one that's here, Lord, that You have something very special. And I just praise You for it, Lord. In Your name, Jesus. Well, I want to share. I want to share on His love. And I wrote it down, His love, and I put a little dash next to it. And it's fear. And then I wrote under it last night, this is my first time sharing. And so I was, you know, I'm experiencing some things because, like, the Lord's been really sharing some things with me, and I know that I'm probably not going to share it all. But when He was sharing some of these things to me, I thought, well, I'm going to write down anyways. And if you bring it up, you bring it up. But I wrote under it, Jesus. And what I really want to speak about is Jesus. And so, I'm going to share Jesus. And first of all, I want to start out with, and I wrote down, He has made His love true to me out of fear. And it's amazing, not amazing, but it's, well, for a long time, I had a companion, and that I had a companion, and it was fear. And I walked with it for a lot of years. And it was very familiar with me, and I was very familiar with it. And I was listening over the meeting about some of the ones that were describing what fear would do. And I think Tom said something about it makes your hands sweat, you know. And I thought, you know, I can relate to that because I, many, many times my hands would just sweat. I mean, because, you know, I was fearful. And then I had another reaction to my body, and that was fear of man. And for a long time, I could not, you would have never seen me behind this pulpit. Never. But Jesus, He came and He made Himself real to me through this time of fear. And I mean, so real. You know, real fear is real. And it's a being. But Jesus, He is just as real. I was sharing with my husband last night. You know, He walks among us. And if we would just, I mean, if He could just put skin on Himself, why would that be any different that we wouldn't notice Him walking among us, because, you know, I could see you. And so I would acknowledge you there more because I could see your body. But when I saw it, like, when he revealed it to me, he showed me that that's how he is among us. That clear that we could see him if we look for him. So over this time, whenever he was bringing me to himself through fear, there would be times whenever opportunities would come up. And one thing I've learned through this walk is I've learned some things from my husband. He's one that says, you know, no matter how afraid you are or how it seems, do it anyways. And I would think, oh, I just don't know if I can do that. Not really, because some of it would just be like impossible. And it seemed like a tall mountain. I couldn't picture being able to go through it. But I thought, you know, I'm going to do it. And it started really very small. I want to go back in my life when I was, before we had started coming to Lake Hamilton. We had a meeting in California with a couple, and they began to share a little bit about deliverance. And I remember one time that I was dealing with fear, and Mara Tate, my spiritual mother, her and Richard came to our house, and I was so consumed by it, I couldn't even think. I couldn't even, I was just entrapped by it. It sat on me, literally. And so I remember Mara come over and Richard, and he said, okay, we're going to pray for this thing. Well, do you see it? And I literally could see it. And so he said, well, call it out. And I said, well, it's fear. And he said, okay. So we started praying. And I tried all I could, the best that I could, but it just didn't want to fall off as quickly as I wanted it to. It just didn't. Now that I think about it, all along the Lord was establishing more and more of himself through that time. And I remember Mars grabbing me and sitting me on her lap. And she started to intercede. And I started seeing this thing go in her and go out. And I was taken by that. And that's one of the things I started seeing about Jesus. Then after that, there was less fear. Because when it started out with, it was so consuming that I felt like, you know, people explain it to be like a nervous breakdown. I was break down because I couldn't even take care of my children. I couldn't hardly eat. I had to lay on the floor just to relax so I can get some food down. I weighed like probably 90 pounds. And so I knew at that time, I knew that I was dying. And I remember laying on my couch and I was thinking, I'm going to die, because not really realizing that fear was a being that was trying to kill me at that time. And all this time I'd gone to church, you know, my father and my mother had told me there was a God. And we went to church, and then we got married, and I was trying real hard to be a good wife and a mother. And I thought that's what you do when you're Christians, you know, because it is. But this fear just had come in when I was very young. And it had come down from the family line. My mother has been consumed with fear. She still battles with fear. I get opportunities, or the Lord has allowed me to give opportunities to share with her about fear. And she's pretty open most of the time. So anyways, when I was very young, there were things that happened. Like I remember one time I was we were traveling, we were moving. We used to move a lot when we were young. And we stopped at a gas station, and my sister and I went to go use the bathroom, and we couldn't get the door open. So we were both in there, we were very young, And when you're young, you don't really think beyond from what you are at that time. And I was just thinking, we're never going to get out of here. We're here. This is the way we're going to die. We're going to smother to death. We're going to die. And all this fear just went, phew. I remember it very clearly. So there was a door that opened and fear entered in. And so here comes my father, and he's knocking on the door because we're in the middle, kind of like in the desert, like he's going to leave us. But, you know, I was so young, I didn't think of that. I was just, we can't get out of the bathroom. We were little. So fear entered in there. Also, in my growing up, there was not really a very secure life for me. We moved a lot. My mom had a lot of issues. And so I didn't really receive a lot of security when I was growing up, and fear had, you know, become a part of my life then when I was very young. Even up to my teenage years, I had pretty much to take care of myself, support myself. My father died before I was a teenager, and so I was responsible for me, and that was another part of being fearful, because I had to take care of myself, wonder how am I going to feed myself. And that's a fearful thing when you're young and you're a teenager, and there's a lot of things out there which I'm grateful could have been worse than it was as far as being taken advantage of. But there were a lot of things that I was taken advantage of, but God kept me. Anyways, when we moved here to Lake Hamilton, I had some, God had made a way for it. And I've had Him show Himself to me. Through this fear time I was going through, He would make ways. And the only way I can explain it is, Dawn was sharing it earlier about sometimes He uses a man. You know, Jesus can do that. And it's not the man, but the more of a Jesus in the man, I'll tell you, it's Jesus. And there were times whenever it was the right time. I was so fearful. And I want to share a little bit about Dr. Noel. He spent a lot of time with me in this particular area. I spent a lot of time here on the floor. And every time I'd come, it would be about fear. And it'd just be about fear. And I thought it was just, you know, never going to stop. And it seemed like forever. But He spent a lot of time with me. And the Lord spent a lot of time with me. And the Lord spent a lot of time with me with His love. And you know, the scripture says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And at that time, I really wasn't made perfect in love, because I really had not experienced true love. Jesus was trying to bring that to me. So as I was going along, Jesus was becoming and bringing me His love. And when He would bring His love to me, the fear would cease. I mean, it's amazing how it happened like that. But as the fear was leaving, I started falling in love with Him. He is just so wonderful. His love is so wonderful. There's just words cannot express. You know, we can't live without that love. We were created to be in love with Him. And that's where He's been bringing me. He's been manifesting Himself so that I can fall in love with Him and He can fall in love with me. And the thing that I think is so wonderful, this last year, last year, Brother Howard Pittman was here, and I had spent a long time dealing with fear, but there was just this little piece left, and I just knew it was a little piece that was nagging and nagging at me. And Brother Pittman had finished sharing, and so I was sitting back there, and he come walking out. And earlier I was wanting to be prayed for over that thing, but I didn't respond to it, because I just didn't. but I repented. And I thought, oh, this is the end of the year. I missed it, Lord, you know. Well, here comes Brother Pittman, and he start walking out, and somebody come in front of him and stood there and asked him to pray for him, and I was just like, oh, you know, how can I have him pray for me? He's going to think, you know, all these thoughts to keep me from having him pray for me. But inside me, I wanted it. And so when the man had passed by, I stepped up and I said, you know, to him, if that I was having this negative thing that just kept eating at me, this fear, and you know, I didn't make myself humble, but yeah, it came. I just didn't care anymore. I just wanted to be free. And so he started to pray for me, and he goes, Lord, he says, let her see that this fear is the devil. And when he said it like that with power, it's like something shattered inside me. I mean, literally, just went like little glass, just shattered. I thought, well, that was strange. Was it just because he said it so loud with power? I don't know, but you know, it just, that's how it went in my whole body. I thought, well, that was good. And so after that, it's gone. I mean, it's gone. Now, I'm not really afraid up here. This is new, and I was so excited about being able, that God would give me the opportunity, because he had finished it, that last bit last year. And I'm kind of like, okay, now, you know, now I just got to do ground here and find my way through this one. Because over the last few years, the Lord had opened opportunities for me to, you know, let some more fear shed off. One of them was, you know, I play the violin some. I'm not, you know, a real professional out of it. I'll admit that in the past I wanted to be, because I felt like, you know, that's what you're supposed to do when you learn something. You got to be good, you know. And, well, I had a hard time coming up here and playing it, because I took like 3 years of playing violin. Violin is not an easy instrument to learn how to play. And my class was all kids about 3-4 years old. I was the only, well, their parents did too, but I was really the only grown up in the class. And there were times they would have concerts and all the kids would show up and the grown ups wouldn't, and I'd be the only one. But I knew I needed to go. So I would be playing in there with the rest of the kids. Shed off some more fear. And so, anyways, Glenn would, I know, in his own way, would encourage me to go up there and play, to come up here and play. So a few times it would be just a couple little things, and I'd, oh, you know, and I just, because of fear of man, you know. And I've done better. It's not, I haven't played, it's not because I haven't done better, it's just sometimes we get a little busy around here, and if it doesn't get in, it doesn't get in. And so, but so the opportunities have arise in areas like that. I want to share another thing about the Lord bringing his love to me and revealing himself to me. And that was when we came here, you know, being afraid of man, it's, I never would like anybody to get close to me, because, you know, you don't trust. And fear, you don't want to get hurt. You don't want anybody to hurt you. So you put up these walls. You don't want them to really see who you are. But maybe they don't like you, you know. Maybe you've got all kinds of reasons. Well, the Lord started to open himself and show himself to me through some ways that were just so simple. I mean, and, you know, I'm not trying to uplift Glenn, because, you know, he doesn't need to be. And he wouldn't accept it anyways. But God used him. And there would be times where he would say something or do something right in the time, and it was like Jesus was talking to me. You know, one time he was standing back there, and I was feeling so like, and he had a muffin, and he was eating off this muffin. And he gave it to me to take a bite off of his muffin. To eat off of his muffin. And I saw Jesus. you know, that you would love me enough to want to share off the same bread. You're not grossed out by my spit, you know, and his spit or whatever, but that you love me enough to say, here, take a bite of mine, you know. And I said, you love me that much, Jesus. So over the years, he has been opening and opening himself to me and showing me, you know, that he longs for me to find out how much he wants me to know it. He wants me to see in his heart. And he wants me to know that he feels for me. He wants that. You know, in a relationship, it is always just one side. It really is not enough. It's not enough for him to just know that I love him. It's enough for me to know how he feels. And it's like he's wanting me to see what matters to him. I don't know why I keep thinking of this, but before this happened, camp started, the Lord had been really written me about myself, about what I want. And I was sharing with my husband, you know, I really don't care about anything for me anymore. I just want Jesus. I just want Jesus. I said, now, I don't want to be a fly, but I'm going to use it as an example, okay? Because that's how I saw it. You know, a fly land on a wall. He'll land on a wall. And you really, if there was a fly, like, right over there, you probably wouldn't be able to see it. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I want to be like a fly. I don't care if anybody doesn't notice me. I don't care. I just want you, Jesus. Because when you come to that place, you are so satisfied. Nothing matters. It's like you're alive and complete the way we were meant to be, because that's how he created us to be, was for to be in love with him. And that's what the bride is all about. I know it. I know that's what the bride is all about. I was remembering when Don was sharing about when the Lord came and started to caress him and said, would you dance with me? You know, do we really see our relationship like that with him? And how much we really need, and he needs for us to have it like that. He longs for it. I shouldn't say need. He longs for it. That's his heart's desire, is for us to have that relationship where we could just be like we would be with someone we were very much in love with. You know? I could take time now. let's see. I'm going through this pretty fast, but well, that's okay. I was also thinking, when Brother Pittman was sharing about the times that we're living in, and he was saying, you know, what we need, and the thought had come to me about this love relationship with the Lord, that if we don't have it, that's the thing that's going to sustain us. That's the thing that's going to keep our deliverance, our healing, is this love thing between him and us. Because there is, between that love, between him making himself known and making himself real, you know, nothing can move us. Nothing can waver that truth. And so when I was thinking of that, the scripture came to me. Now, I am going to start getting into the Word a lot more. In the beginning, it always worked out of revelation. I never spent a whole lot of time in the scriptures. God would come and he would share himself, and then later I found out it was in here. It just was that way. I don't, you know, it still is. So, but I do read the scriptures and I do know them, but when I would be experiencing something, all of a sudden, boom, that's what you were saying in the scriptures, Lord. So he kind of works with me. He works with us all different ways. Some people, he'll work through the scriptures and bring them. You know, it doesn't matter. Is what he's after is to bring himself to us. It's not an issue in that. I know that He works everything out perfect, and He wants us to be balanced in everything, because then we won't miss anything. But the scripture that came to my mind when I was thinking about what Brother Pittman was sharing about this time was in Romans 8:35-39, and I'm going to read it. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor heights nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." It's this love. It's this love. And I'm just so excited because when I was preparing this, and I was before the Lord, and I was so excited, it was like what Brother Pittman said about this little nugget. You know, this little nugget. And so I thought, I could finally see what you're saying, Lord, about it, because I've decreased. And because you're increased, I can see you. I found you. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And I just want to say it like this. He has a gift for you girls this morning. It's wrapped up in the most beautiful ribbon, in the most beautiful gift you can even imagine. And I just want you to just be open at this time right now. He is going to put His arms around you. He is going to love on you, and He's going to let you love on Him. And He is going to reveal His love. So if you could just accept this gift that He has for you at this time. Don's going to put on a song that He opened up to me in His love. And I want to share my gift with you. Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for giving me another new companion. And it's you, Jesus. And Lord, my prayer is that each one of my sisters that are here, Lord, that you will increase this love in each heart, Lord, right now in your name, Jesus. Increase it. Pour your love in them like never before. That they will experience it, Lord. It's wonderful. Your love is wonderful. There's just nothing compare. Nothing. And I just thank you again, Lord, for your gift. Bless each one of us, Lord. Continue to do a deliverance in us, Lord, and a healing. In your name, Jesus, I thank you. Amen. Amen. Wow, we're early. And I'm not just keeping talking because to fill in time. It's wonderful when you don't have to do that. And you know that, well, you know, it's 2 o'clock, there must be a reason for it. Okay, Lord, what's the reason? You know, there's nothing wrong with waiting on the Lord. I think that it's a good thing that He has us to do that so that we will do it. Because all my life I have rushed, and I've missed God because of it. I have a, like Jane was saying, she goes, you're going to find out a confession to make. I do have one that I'm going to bring out. Didn't think about it till right now. But before Brother Glenn had asked me to share, and I had just come up to the place about that fly, you know, well, I was thinking as the meeting was going on, you know, I've been here a long time, and I have never shared once. And I began to think, why is that? How come? You know, doesn't Brother Glenn see me? Doesn't anybody notice that I'm, you know, don't anybody, here I wanted to be that fly, right? Well, this is kind of funny. I was sharing it with, one night when Don and I went home, I was sharing it and I go, you know, the thought had hit me about the prodigal son. He told him, but you're always with me. You know, you're always with me. You're not left out. You've always been with me. And I thought, that's what that meant. About the it's not always about the prodigal son, and you know that way. I mean, it's like we're never left out. God sees us. Well, about that time, I was walking back there to get in line to eat, and I think it was Linda come up to me and says, was talking to Glenn at that time, and she said, well, ask Ada. And I'm just, Glenn and I, well, Glenn don't really, he does, but we don't talk a lot together. It's not bad. He talks to me through expression. I don't know how to put that in words, but that's how he talks to me. Sometimes he won't say nothing, and I know what he's saying. Like, go get that. And I know what he's saying. That's how we talk, which is good, because I'm not much of a talker either. God's going to pull me out of that one. Anyways. So she said, she told Glenn, well, ask Ada. So when he turned around, he looked at me, and Jesus looked at me. And he said, what about you? What about you sharing, taking one of the women's meetings? And I said, and just about that time, Richard come behind me and says, don't pass it up. Something like that. And I knew about that time, I've already learned from Don, you know, I wasn't even going to, you know, really, actually, the fear didn't even come on me. I was just overwhelmed because I didn't even have to ask. But Jesus saw me. And he knew it was time because fear had been, you know, defeated. And it was time. And then Jesus showed me himself. He sees me. And that we're never going to be missed out. We never have to promote ourselves. We never have to ask. You know, we don't have to do that. It is wonderful when we can get to that place to let him do that in our lives. You will not believe the things that are going to happen. I mean, that was just timing, you know, because, I mean, I was just going to go eat. And so, start looking for Jesus. He is all around, and you know, He can even talk to you through an unsaved person. But if you are open to see Him, you know, He will share Himself. He is walking around. Maybe He may not have skin on Him, but I'll tell you, He was walking around here a few minutes ago when He was handing every one of you a gift. He handed it to me too. He was letting me know, I told you that I was going to be faithful in this meeting. And He did. And He is. So, if anyone does want to have some prayer, Carla will come up here. And what I really feel for prayer for is, you know, love. If you have a hard time letting love come near you, you know, I know I've heard people have problems with that, of letting love come near because of maybe rejection or maybe not being able to trust somebody. So I really want to open it up for love. If you want more love, I want to ask Louise and Carla to come up here with me, and we will pray that God will impart, you know, that love to come near you. And I'll tell you, it's here. He is passing. You know, I've heard that saying about when He's passing to touch the hem of His garment. Don't miss that time. Don't let your pride or whatever come in the way, or even say, well, I'm okay with love, because I'll tell you, I don't mind getting in line either. You know, so if Carla and Louise will come up here, and if you just want to, you know, don't worry about who to go to. Just get in line and let Jesus impart it.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.